Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Everyone deserves a chance in the driver's seat. For GM and Revolt, that means leading the way on the road to an all-electric future and envisioning a world with zero crashes, zero tailpipe emissions, and zero congestion. GM's committed to making EVs accessible for everybody. That means you too. So what are you waiting for? GM's got the keys. You grab the wheel. Learn more about an all-electric future and the 000 initiative at GM.com. GM, everybody in.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy David with Blackwell Renaissance, and I'm here today to tell you guys about Anchor. If you haven't heard of Anchor, it's the best place to make a podcast. Anchor is a free app that has creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast straight from your phone. Anchor also distributes your podcast across all major platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many others. You can also make money on your podcast with Anchor with no minimum listenership. Anchor is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So if you're looking to get started on your own podcast, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm.
You know the rules of the game.
Yeah.
You know the rules of the game. I don't care what color. Can you make me $100 million?
Let's talk money. Let's talk.
Can you make me that? If you can't make me that, I won't talk to you. You shouldn't even be at this table.
Hey, I got money on my mind. I'm just trying to get some dough. I ain't picking up my line unless it's money on the phone. Gotta get it on the daily. All I want is dubs. You know what I'm on. I've been chasing after paper. All I know is run money marathon.
Do 5 years of this and be a millionaire and go on, do what I want to do, have kids, go live my Chip and Joanna Gaines life out here in Texas, or struggle for next week. The choice is yours.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Black Wealth Renaissance Podcast. Our goal of this podcast is to normalize Black wealth and share helpful resources and tips we believe will be useful in attaining and maintaining generational wealth. Please feel free to rate and comment on our podcast. We would love to hear all feedback you have. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Black Wealth Renaissance Podcast. David Bellar, one-fourth of the Black Wealth Renaissance, checking in with my co-hosts. Fellas, how y'all feeling?
What up? It's your boy, Jalen, here, checking in. Feeling great, man. It's a lovely Saturday. Got some great guests I'm ready to talk to. How the rest of y'all doing, my brothers?
Feeling good, feeling great, man, on a lovely Saturday. I'm just excited for this podcast. This podcast is long overdue.
Long overdue.
How you doing, Jared?
Man, I'm chilling. I can't complain too much, bro. I'm just enjoying this lovely Saturday as well. Ready to get into this podcast, man. I'm excited for this one.
Without further ado, we're going to just get ready to introduce y'all to our guests. It's a super dope couple right here out of Dallas, Texas. They debt-free as fuck.
Yeah.
$114,000 worth of debt in under 24 months.
Yep.
NBC, ABC, all over the place, man. They doing the damn thing. The Hart Tremoni, Anthony and Janika Hartzai. How y'all doing?
We're good. Great introduction. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you guys for having us.
He said he'd been watching Sway try to get his
deductions
back.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my Sway back.
That'd be a solid intro.
But thank y'all for coming to our show. We really appreciate it. I know David had connected with y'all whenever we had an event.
That was like last year, bro.
October.
Like August, bro.
August of last year, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah.
Over a year ago, it was an event that we had teamed up with some people with out of Dallas. And I know, I remember whenever he came back, he was telling us about y'all, and we were been supposed to get this rocking and rolling. So we ready to get this going.
Coming on. So
no problem.
Getting kicked off, we gonna start it how we always started. For everybody that may not be familiar with y'all, can y'all tell us who y'all are and like how y'all got started?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm Janoka.
And I'm Anthony.
And we're born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. Got married May of 2016 and then moved down to Dallas June 2016. And then we started our debt-free journey January 2017.
We had $114,000 of debt.
Uh-huh. And I wasn't really on board initially, but I got on board. And we basically paid off all our debt by raising our income mostly versus cutting it back. And we did that within 23 months. We set a goal of like paying off on my 30th birthday and we were able to do so. That's the condensed version. Yeah. I'm sure we'll get into more.
Since then, we started a six-figure cleaning business here in Dallas, multiple six figures at this point. Mm-hmm. We aren't cleaning houses ourselves. We work with independent contractors. We also have a car rental business. We also watch dogs. So we've done a ton of things and we're continuing.
And we just got an investment property.
Yeah.
So,
hey,
so
continuing
to build wealth and share family stories.
Hey, I love to hear it. And I just kind of want to dive a little bit deeper into like, what was that epiphany whenever y'all realized, mm-hmm. hey, we need to get rid of this debt, or like, we're way over leveraged. This is a problem.
Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't, I don't know if it was necessarily an epiphany because, you know, mostly we had, what was that? 2016 Christmas, we had just bought all Christmas gifts and we used our credit cards for all of that. And so we're like, you know, having to pay this back now is coming from our savings. So then also 2017, I said that I wanted to travel more and save more. And he is like, well, we can't do both of those. So we got to figure it out. And so that's when he started listening to podcasts and reading books and stuff like that. And that's when we got on board to start doing this. So it wasn't anything bad that happened per se. It just was like, you know, when he started listening to podcasts, he saw that other people were doing it and that it was possible.
Yeah.
And so he was like, well, we could do this. And that's how we started our journey.
Jared, you got something, my brother?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I found it really interesting that y'all decided to go the direction with increasing your income versus trying to like decrease your expenses and stuff. That's usually the direction everybody like popularly tries to go. What made y'all decide to go against that?
Yeah, it was mostly her. Because she still wanted to enjoy her lifestyle. So visiting family back in New York.
Yeah.
During the time we paid off debt, how many trips did we go on?
Yeah, we still went on about like 7 to 8, locally mostly. I don't think it'd be that. We went on one international, Hawaii, but we were planning that before we even started the journey.
So we were traveling back to New York 3-4 times. We went to D.C., we went to Miami, Florida, visited family. And her biggest thing was, I don't want to give up my lifestyle. And we've been married for 4 years and, you know, happy wife, happy life. So I was like, how can we allow you to still enjoy your lifestyle without me trying to kill you to pay off this debt?
If it was up to him, we would have did it in probably 15 months.
We would have did it in 1 year, probably.
I just was like, there's no rush. We're paying it off. What's the rush here? Like, we're going to do it anyway. So like you said, I needed that balance. So that's why we went that route.
It's real beauty in that story. I love hearing that because it's like, I think a lot of people need to hear that because you normally, when you think about it, like it got to be like this whole sacrifice. I can't have fun. I can't do anything. But y'all really still attacked it. Y'all got rid of the debt while building businesses, while doing all these things together. It's really a good example for people, I think, because the goal should always be to use your money to improve your life, not just like live lesser all the time. Yeah, I just love it. I love hearing that.
Yeah.
So what was one of the first ways y'all really attacked increasing that income? What was one of the first side ventures that you kind of looked at and say, okay, I think this could work. This could start us on our journey.
So the first thing was a lot of people think about, I want this sexy side hustle. I want to start this multi-million dollar business. And I'm like, the first thing we could do is pick up another job. So we got, you know, 9 to 5, I'm a director at an IT firm. She's a manager of mental health counseling. And from 5 to 10, we were all free. We don't have any kids. All we have is our dog. So the first thing I did was picked up a job. I started working at Equinox, which is a high-end fitness center. And I was working there from 5 to 10, you know, Monday through Saturday, as much as I can.
Yeah.
And she was
working a lot of hours.
I was working.
I was like, well, I need to do something. Let me start working. So I started working front desk there as well. That was the first thing that we did. And so, I mean, it really started at $9 an hour, honestly. I eventually became a manager of this and started making more. But even with the amount we were working, we were still able to bring in between $700 to $1,000 a month just off of that.
So that $9 an hour, you know, it sounds unsexy, but at the end of the day, that was $1,000 extra that we had a month. And it was like, you know, $9 an hour wasn't going to change our life, but we knew it was just the mindset around just compounding that. We wasn't taking, you know, we wasn't taking that money and spending. It was like, all right, if we're going to travel, we're going to pay off this debt. That's what that money is going towards. So it just started adding up from there.
So that was the first thing that we did.
And the second thing we did, we started renting out our car. I got a brand new Infiniti when we moved down here. And I was like, listen, how can we pay this car off as soon as possible? So I started renting it out on Turo.com, which is a peer-to-peer car rental platform. So got a lot of renters, and it got to the point where I didn't want to rent out my car anymore. So I started raising my price. It was like, started at 40, and then I moved to 45, 50, 60. I got all the way up to $80 a day, and people kept renting it out. I'm like, all right.
But once we paid it off, he's like, I took it off. That's it. No more.
Because it wasn't bad. I didn't have any issues with the car, but it was just my anxiety. It's like, oh, you know, I got a brand new baby and I'm just giving it out. Everybody bought the car back in good condition. We had one incident, but it was just anxiety provoking. So I pulled it down. We paid off that car in a year.
And then we were watching dogs. Because like you said, we got a dog when we moved down here. So we started, since I work from home full time, even pre-COVID. So we were watching dogs at home as well. What else were we doing? Let me see. Oh, I'm a therapist, so I started working at a private practice.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Also, so even though that's part of my career, it still was a side hustle. I was bringing good money in, and I was working there 3 times a week. So we were just hustling.
Anything that could fit around our lifestyle at the time. So
Yeah,
y'all was really getting it out of the mud.
Yeah.
Like, how many different streams? You had regular job, 9 to 5. You had the Turo. Second job. Then you had the Turo. The walking the dogs, then you picked up your therapy job too. That's 5 right there. How did y'all still find the time to manage to still enjoy each other and really just find that time to really focus on yourself mentally too? Because I know sometimes entrepreneurs are, we set ourselves on a goal and we kind of run ourselves crazy trying to attain that goal. How did y'all still maintain that lifestyle while also working on all of these other things?
Well, I think it was balanced because I wouldn't allow us to run ourselves crazy. He would do that. That's him, straight and narrow. He would just go, but I wouldn't allow that. But also with all of our side hustles, they were very flexible. So we could always say yes or no. Like at Equinox, they knew that we had a full-time job. So our managers, if they required other people to do 20 hours a week, it would only be 15 for us or whatever. They'll be flexible in that route.
That was also important too, because they knew we had 9 to 5s and knew we had a journey to complete.
Right.
But we were always professional. We were always on time. We would always go above and beyond.
Yeah,
so
allowed
us to get some flexibility there. So it was like, all right, they see me coming from work, you know, in my suit, and I'm coming in and stripping down to like the janitorial clothes at Equinox. So they was like, all right, we know he's grinding, so we're going to allow these guys some flexibility. We were getting hours we shouldn't have gotten. We were getting a whole bunch of perks that we probably shouldn't have gotten just by being professional at all times.
And then like the dog, we could always say, no, we're not watching it. Car, we could always say, no, we're not renting out the car. Same thing with the private practice. I could close my calendar. Yep. You know what I mean? So with all of them being so flexible, that's what allowed us to do all of these things at once. Because if it was like retail, like I had to be there a certain time, then that probably wouldn't have worked for us. But the flexibility is what allowed it. And so when we realized, okay, we're doing date night, like it had to be planned a week ahead because we got to make sure we're not working that weekend or whatever. Run, somebody's coming into town. However, you know, we balanced it that way.
And it even got to a point where at the gym, I was working a lot. I was losing weight because I would, I'm coming home from work and I'm going straight to work again. So my eating was off. Mm-hmm. I wasn't getting to the gym as much. And I was like, damn, I'm feeling just tired. So there was a point where I just took off a week and I was like, wow, I'm losing weight. And then I took like a month off and I went back in. I gained all of that weight back. And it was like, oh, you've been working out? I'm like, I just haven't been working here. So just being mindful and just trying to, you know, make sure it fits your lifestyle and not overdoing it.
I got a question. So if there's a guest or there's a listener out there listening and they have a lot of debt, what would be your advice as far as how do they start the process of attacking that?
I would say knowing your numbers first off, because you talk to people all the time and, you know, no one really wants to know what that number is. It's like, we talk to people, it's like, oh, I have no idea because I never calculated it, because I never thought about paying it off. So knowing how much debt you have to pay off is going to be ideal just by calculating all the expenses you have, all the student loans, car loans, whatever it may be. So knowing what that end goal is will probably be the first step for us.
And then we would say budgeting, and the way that we would say to do that is like printing out your statements and credit card statements for the past 3 months to kind of get a pattern of how you're spending to see where your money is going, and budget for everything. I think people just think you're budgeting for your rent and your car or whatever. But we still budget for restaurants. I mean, because we still plan to eat out. If you don't plan to, then don't budget for that. But we still budget for different things.
Uber, Lyft, brunch.
You know, we were budgeting for all
travel.
Of that. And whatever was like left over is what we would throw to the debt. And when I say left over, meaning like once we put budget in everything, then we would throw that to the debt. So like you said, knowing your numbers, budgeting, and then probably like a debt snowball thing.
So listing your expenses, listing your debts from smallest to largest is what we did. You can do the opposite, which is the snowball, the snow avalanche, which is highest to lowest. But we did smallest.
Highest interest.
It would just be highest.
Oh, just highest. Exactly.
So we listed our debts from smallest to largest. And what that allowed us to do was if we had like a $2,000 credit card, we would just put the minimum on everything else and just focus on that $2,000 credit card. Once that credit card is paid off, you now move those payments to the next debt. And what that did was it allowed us to start getting that snowball where we're starting to see we're paying off debt. Now, if you start from the largest to smallest, or let's say highest interest rate, that may be, you know, $20,000, $30,000. And you may be a year
stuck.
So now you're like, oh my God, I got $20,000 to pay. And now you're focusing on that one debt, which means that you're probably going to start doing other things and not focus on paying off that debt. So,
and just starting from the smallest, like you said, allows for you to celebrate those small goals.
Exactly.
Well. So if you did that $2,000, you can celebrate however you choose to. But
We got one of my close friends. He was like, I'm going to start my credit card. So he took his smallest three credit cards and he sent me a text like a month later. All right. I paid all those credit cards off. I'm moving on to the next debt. He was like, those debts are just lingering there because he wasn't even trying. He's like, I'm putting a minimum, it's whatever. He said, I'm going to put those smallest to largest. He paid those off. He's like, I'm moving on. So that's definitely a major key for us too.
Jim, did y'all use any balance transfers?
We didn't. I would only say use a balance transfer if you have a extremely high credit card that you, let's say you got $5,000 or $10,000 that you feel like it's like 20% interest. You know you're not going to pay it off, especially if you're not going to focus on it. If you're not going to pay it off in the next, you know, couple months, balance transfer that to let's say you have a zero APR for like a year or a year and a half. That would be something I would use a balance transfer for.
So I kind of want to dive into the cleaning business because y'all, with everything else y'all were doing whenever y'all started out, y'all kind of crafted it around y'all lifestyles.
Yeah.
So how did the cleaning business come into this?
Yeah, so we started the cleaning business in November 2017.
Yeah.
But the idea actually came around in March 2017.
I'm a podcast, as usual.
I was listening to a podcast, and it was about this college student who was bringing in $10,000 a month cleaning houses. And I literally Googled him, started searching for him, reached out to him on Facebook, and he told me like the basics of it. And I'm like, all right, let me start finding other information about how this could be done. Mm-hmm. So, found information, brought it to her back in March, and she was like, I'm not with it.
Yeah. No. That was it. I was like, why would we start a cleaning business out of all things that were? First of all, we have all this going off. We're paying off our debt. Who said we got time? Who said we got money? It was just a lot.
And the idea for the cleaning business was to help us pay off that debt.
Right.
That was the original idea of it.
And then the other part of it was that we had never discussed running a business or owning a business or having a business. So it's like, how do we start? How are we going to know how to run this? And so all those things was kind of what came into mind for me as to why I shut it down.
So then from there, I brought some more ideas. I brought some more information around it. Pretty much a business plan, presented it to her. Like, here's what we're going to do.
Right.
We're not going to clean houses. Here's how we're going to formulate it. And she was like, all right, let's give it a shot. So from there.
Yeah. And then we started it. And honestly, I think with all the side hustles that we were doing, it allowed for us to still pay off debt and start a business at the same time.
Because it's a low startup business in general.
Yeah, it is a low startup as well, but it still gave us that, you know, extra money that, yeah, we could have thrown to the debt, but we figured, like he said, it was going to help us pay off the debt so we can put it towards it.
So, yeah, that's kind of where it started at.
Gotcha. So after you got the information from the guy and all that, like, what was the first steps in this? Because I know, like, people here, y'all got a cleaning business and y'all don't have to clean any houses. So how can somebody get to that point? Like, because, you know, you think a cleaning business, mm-hmm. I got to get this broom, I got to get this mop, I got to
go buff these floors, let me go just get shit. Yeah.
So, like, how are y'all doing that?
So the first thing we did was we were like, we're not going to clean houses ourselves. So it was like, do we start getting the jobs for us, or we find people to do the jobs for us? And that was the biggest thing, which we have. We talk to our students about this all the time. They struggle between getting the jobs and getting the cleaners. But we know the biggest struggle is when we find the people to do the work. So the way we phrase it, we work with independent contractors. And the way we phrase it to them is that we're going to be able to find you more business, and we're going to split the business, you know, 60-40, 50-50, or 40-60 the other way. And if you're a mom and pop shop, you already, all you do is, you know, word of mouth. You don't have any online presence. You don't have anything on Yelp, Google, Facebook. All you know is your customers talking to other potential customers. Mm-hmm. So first thing we did was found the contractor. That was a very important part for us.
Also, we got, I mean, now our people don't have to do that, but of course we got an LLC, and then we got a lawyer involved to check our contract that we're giving to contractors, for me, because he's like, we could find a contract online and it'll be perfectly fine. And I'm like, No, we have to do it the right way. We need to make sure a lawyer checks this over and stuff like that. So that was the added expense that we added in that other people now do not, because our students were able to give them the same contract that we use. And so, yeah, people always ask, like he said, about do you get the contractors first or the jobs? And I say, well, if you get the job, who's going to clean if you don't have anybody?
You're going to be cleaning.
So I would say definitely get the contractors first, because usually, like he said, the contractors, they have other jobs. So they're not necessarily sitting waiting for you. You're just adding on to their, you know, roster, adding on to the workload they have for the week.
And then our first job came Thanksgiving Day. We just launched the business. We got our contractor, and then we post our jobs everywhere. So we're on Thumbtack, we're on Yelp, we're on Google. People can find us everywhere. So at that point, we already have a website. You can find us and book us online. So we got our first booking on Thanksgiving Day. We were with family celebrating. We just launched a business. We got a cleaner. We got a job. Now pretty much what we're going to do is pair those two together. Mm-hmm. We're going to send the cleaner to do that job. Client only contacts us, and then we take our split from that. Mm-hmm. So we pretty much own the client, or we own the business, mm-hmm. and we just send the jobs to the contractors to do the job.
Right.
And how are you contacting these clients, the contractors, because you said they don't really have too much online presence. So how are you going about finding these people who aren't too tech savvy, but still need that business?
So from the beginning, it's going to be 3 years this November. That has been always the hardest thing, is finding contractors. And we tell everybody
finding good contractors.
Good contractors, I should say. You're right. We tell everybody that from the beginning, when you're starting this business, that's going to be an ongoing process, and always be hiring is what we say.
Yep.
Our best contractors has come from referrals. So a contractor that we work with, they're like, oh, I have a friend that does it, or looking for more work, or a family member. That's been our best ones that we found. But there are out there, like we post on Craigslist, we post on in Facebook groups, we post on Cure.com. So
you go to Indeed, ZipRecruiter. Same
so
place.
There's people looking on there.
Same places you would find any other person who's looking for work. Yeah. And the purpose is that you find these people who don't have that online presence. So they know their marketing is not that good. So Craigslist is a big one. We show our students, like, these are your competitors. They got this horrible ad. They got this phone number that you got to call for a quote. Yeah. But our clients just find us online. They book us online, and they pay us online. And they don't ever have to contact us. Mm-hmm. I was talking to one guy today. We had a virtual assistant, but since COVID hit, we would have all the phone calls come to us. He's like, I'm on your website right now. I didn't have to call you, did I? And I'm like, listen, we can talk through this. If you want to feel more comfortable, like, we can talk through this. He's like, he's asking me all the questions that he's looking at online. And he's like, yeah, I could have just did this myself. I could have saved you time. I could have saved myself time. Like, that's the purpose of it.
Yes, sir. There's a lot I get like that. But I mean, you just talk through it with them. Maybe they just want to speak to somebody. Yeah. I don't know. Because I'm telling you the same information you're seeing.
He's like, so what's included? He's like, wait, I found that link on the website. He's like, just hold on for one more minute. So that's how we find the people.
But that's crazy, because it speaks to the power of having an online presence.
Yes.
And because I know a lot of times, especially in our community, us as entrepreneurs, we want to get started, but we don't want to go online, or we're like, hey, I'm going to just try word of mouth. I'm going to just tell my family and friends. But we don't understand that once you have that online presence, you're able to start getting inbound marketing. People are already searching for it. You just have to know how to get in front of their face. So now you could be sleeping and you can still wake up to 2-3 clients who just book some appointments versus you, I'm taking 8 hours out of my day. During this 8 hours, I'm cold calling this amount of people. I'm putting this amount of energy in it. But no, if you have the online presence plus cold calling, now you're really able to maximize your effort.
Agree with you 100%. We get people who book us 2, 3, 4 in the morning. It's like, who the hell's up looking for a cleaning business at 4 in the morning? But
for sure,
we'll wake up and we'll see like 2-3 emails in there saying new booking by customers. So the only time we've done physical marketing is when we went door to door one day.
It was the first time. It was the first and only time. And it was like 97.
You guys are in Texas. We had our suits on and we were in Texas.
We put in flyers under doors and we didn't get not one call. He was pissed.
We printed out these beautiful flyers. We don't need flyers for these businesses either most of the time. But we had flyers. We had them made, designed, customized. We were out walking door to door.
Walking the beat.
One complex, putting flyers under doors. We didn't get a single call, single text.
Not one.
I said never again.
Yeah, that was one and done.
But it was good to try it so we could tell the story. But
right, but now we just do online marketing. I mean, if you know other people, you could do other marketing, that's fine. But right now, we only do online marketing.
Listen, we had people, we wanted to be out there doing door-to-door. I'm sure we'd have a ton more business, but we're very comfortable with people finding us online and us not having to hire somebody to go out there and do it or hiring people or just going in and doing it ourselves.
Right.
So with your online marketing, are y'all doing strictly like SEO or are y'all using pay-per-click advertisements? How are y'all getting y'all brand out in front of those people?
Combination of all the above. So we started with doing Thumbtack, which is pretty much just
like an Angie's List.
Yeah. So people are looking for businesses. You go in, you pitch them, and they respond, and it's pay-per-click or pay-per-conversation. From there, we moved over to Yelp, which is where we are currently, and that's a pay-per-click as well. You could post for free methods. You could post on Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. You could go to Nextdoor.com. Craigslist was free, but now they charge you like $5. To post on there, but we don't do much Craigslist at this point. We don't do much Facebook. So, and then SEO is our
Facebook ads is another one, but we haven't gotten into that. But
And then our biggest thing is SEO right now. So, kind of managing Google, people type in cleaning service, Dallas, Texas. We're on the first page now, but SEO becomes very expensive. We didn't do it from day one.
Yeah.
We're on year three at this point. So now we pay for SEO to kind of make sure we stay on that first page at least.
So, our main strategies are SEO and Yelp right now.
And that's really great because it's playing to Anthony's
strength. I was going to ask about
too,
that.
Yeah, because you're in IT. So I'm pretty sure y'all didn't initially had to come off that money up front.
No, we tell our students, we try to show you the most cost-effective ways, but it's going to be the most time-consuming. Right. We were in Facebook groups. So I was on Nextdoor posting every other
day. Facebook groups of like moms working from home, looking for cleaners. We were posting there, like, and we got some people from there too.
And if you if you're consistent on it, you'll find people all the time.
You can. The thing about SEO is like it's really expensive. I mean, some people you can start from the beginning, and we have like a coworker, but somebody that had a business that started around the same time as us that she started from the beginning with SEO, and she did. She took off, but she also didn't have a work-life balance. Like she was dying out. So like she still had a 9-to-5 and she was doing all this stuff. And so I'm like, I don't want that. Yes, it's more money, but I still need to live. This is okay. I don't need to be going that hard essentially.
So we were able to kind of grow organically, but SEO, it's major. We recommend it if you can afford it day one.
Yeah.
But our clients find us online and that's how we kind of manage the business.
Okay. Sure. Just for anybody who can afford it, do you have any recommendations of where you should go to kind of get that started if you're not too tech savvy?
SEO is a
YouTube and Google. Yeah. That's the only thing we got.
If you have the time and you want to learn it, you could learn anything from YouTube, honestly. I don't have any reading recommendations for SEO. I'm sure you could just type in SEO whatever. We actually just had our SEO guy teach our students for free, like 30, it was an hour actually. He came and just dropped all the game he had for our students free of charge. And it's like a lot of things you could kind of do on your own. So a lot of things we didn't know that we actually learned that we pay him to do right now. But finding a good SEO person is challenging too, because everyone says they know it, but no one can really get you those results that they say they're going to get you because it's a long-term game.
Right. And the results take long to see.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. It's not like a month or it may not even be 3 months. You know, sometimes it just takes the compound. So that's the other part of SEO.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that too, though. Yeah, that compound effect, because a lot of times, even with this internet space, we see things happening so quickly, mm-hmm. we don't understand that a lot of times it takes time.
It don't happen overnight.
Exactly. Right. Even with us building our social media page, we have that following now, but you had to be consistent in order to get that. And a lot of people, a lot of times they'll get started and they won't remain consistent because they don't see those results immediately. So I commend y'all for teaching y'all students that and just giving the game just now that, hey, if you're trying, you're starting off, y'all just be patient, be consistent, and it's going to come through.
And that's the same thing with any business. The first year we started the same amount of, like we said, the person we just spoke about, you know, that person blew us out the water. It wasn't a competition, but you kind of have that mentality.
Like, damn, what are we doing? And then when you hear what she's doing, I'm like, yeah, no, that ain't. I don't think you're going to be able to handle
that. And it was kind of like we wanted to compete with the people in our area, but we weren't at the same lanes. She had the resources that we didn't know about at the time. And then now we have the resources that other people don't know about. And that's why we share it, because it's a long-term game. That first year was horrible. The second year, we doubled our revenue.
Yeah.
And the third year, we're going to do what we did the first 2 years combined. So it's a long-term game. Right. And just like with any business, you may not see that ROI immediately. Yeah. But if you keep doing it, you'll start seeing some return, just like the gym and anything else that kind of work you need to work for.
Right, because we started in November 2017, and in August 2018, the number, like, we were low. We like, should we continue with this? We were really considering, like, I don't know if we should continue with this business because this is not going well. And then by the end of the year, we started killing, like, September, October, things started picking up and just been picking up from there.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
So you do go through those bumps and you just got to ride it.
I know you guys seen that. Does that mean this is life of an entrepreneur? And it's like, oh my God, things are going great. Oh my God, I hate my life. Oh my God, should I still be? So it's just like that with any business, honestly. It's a headache, but then you get the food.
You can't avoid it. That's the worst part about entrepreneurship, honestly. But it's kind of the best part at the same time. Like, those low lows make the high highs so much sweeter.
Oh yeah.
And I'm glad y'all kind of brought that up, because that was going to be my next question is, what was something, the most challenging part about that business? Because I know you both said y'all didn't have any type of entrepreneurial ventures before then. So what was one of the most challenging parts about owning a business for you guys?
I think figuring out our roles at the beginning was hard, as to like who's doing what, how involved, you know what I mean? Because he's in IT, then he does everything on the computer. So like getting the website up, things like that. And so the beginning, it was all him, because we had no business, you know, no customers right now. So everything is falling on him, right? And so I think figuring out our roles and like, okay, I deal better with customers, so speaking to them, and I'll do the interviewing of finding contractors, and, you know, he'll post in the Facebook groups, but if he sees a good one, he'll send it to me. So I think finding that balance and also not letting things go wrong in the business affect our relationship.
Yeah,
I think it was important as well, because you get annoyed as hell from things in the business. And now you're arguing with each other over something that really has nothing to do with you guys. It's not really personal. So figuring that out, when we realized that, like Valentine's Day this year, we had something, we'd be like, all right, we went out. Like, you know, we handled this. Let's go out now. Like, so I think that's been.
And I would say just trying to get out those lows and not quitting when you get out of lows.
Right.
I would say we had a very high right now, but I can see it. It's a low, because before COVID, things were really well. We had just enough business where, you know,
we had hit our highest month in January.
Yeah, things were going very well. And then COVID hit. It was like, we just saw the numbers going down. So March was a really bad month. But mind you, it was still higher than last March and the March before that.
But it just was such a cut from January. So it felt like, damn, what's happening? And then May, things have been getting better and better back to like January numbers.
So now we're at that, we're at very high numbers, but now we got to go back to finding good contractors. And so we're getting more involved in that part of the business where we want to get out of.
Because like he said, we had a virtual assistant answering the phone, but with COVID, we try to cut costs everywhere. So we've been answering it. And be like, we got to get back to them answering this phone because, you know, we're obviously we still have our 9-to-5s and stuff like that. Investment properties, a lot of things happening. And we're like, we can't just keep putting on because like, you answer the phone. No, you answer the phone. Like, so figuring that out as well.
And then also to just that revenue part of it is that you hire someone to manage the business, but you take less money because you're hiring people to run the business. So getting back to that point where we was like, all right, we're going to automate this. We're going to hire people.
Yeah.
But now we're getting all that money to ourselves. It's like, we can do another month of this. We can do another month. Right. It just becomes challenging. Like today, it was just like, I want to quit.
Oh, yeah. Because I still do a lot of time. I'm working census right now. So I just worked right before the podcast. Mm-hmm. And so he's at home. He's like, I need help. And I called him like, what do you need help with? Just speaking of one, I was like, call her. Like, what do you need help? We don't need help. Just call her, but you know, finding that balance, sometimes it feels overwhelming when it's just one person doing it.
Yeah.
So y'all mentioned y'all group a couple times. I don't want to pass off of cleaning before y'all talk about that. Could y'all tell people a little bit more about y'all group and like how they could get involved in it?
Okay. So we started a 6-figure cleaning business course. We sell a course, And this way that people can basically do what we did and do it on their own. They go at their own pace. It's about 1.5-2 hours long. And we also give you the contract, we give you everything. Contracts for commercial if you want, things like that.
Pretty much everything we use to our scripts that we use
for interviewing, everything like that we provide you with. Along with that, we started our community because we were getting DMs with questions. And we're like, okay, some of the questions are the same. Some is like, did they even read through this? Like, so we started a community so that we on Slack. And so this way they have access to us right away. And so if they have a question, we can answer, or it's, you know, accountability as well. So it's a group of people responding as well. So, you know, we have the people that bought the course and then the people that took it a little further and are in the community where we speak, like texting all day, every day.
Reason for the course was when we started posting more about it, about the business that we had, people started asking questions.
Right.
And we didn't know that there was a market there. So we said, let's do a little IGTV.
Let's do a live.
Let's do a live and just say, hey, we're going to start talking about our cleaning business and see where it goes.
Yeah. He was like, let's do a course. I'm like, I don't know. I was like, if you could get 10 sales, then we would consider.
So we didn't have a course. We did an IG live. We was like, listen, we're going to do this course. What I did, I created a quick Canva. I was like, I'm going to create this course.
Yeah.
And if you buy the course, then, you know, you get a free consultation with us.
If you pre-ordered.
We pre-ordered the course. So at that point, we didn't drop it. We just had it up. He was like, let's see how it goes.
And then we were in the live and he dropped and we started getting sales right then and there. And so now.
So we had over 50 pre-sales before we dropped it.
So we dropped that June 1st. And now we've had about 270 people that's bought the course by now.
Yeah.
So I guess it was a good idea.
And then also, it was kind of all the resources that we wish we had from day one. So when I said I was hitting the guy up, I was asking questions, I was Googling. I was taking all that information that we had to find on our own in the time that we put. We said, listen, let's put it in one spot for everyone. All the stuff we wish we had day one. That's pretty much what the course consists of.
Yeah. And we still even though we only do cleaning business, it's still basically marketed as a service-based course.
Yeah.
So if you want to do lawn, you want to do painting, whatever, you still can.
Handyman, movers.
Yes.
I'll have ideas. I want to start a moving company. It's the same exact concept that we used to start the cleaning business, start the moving company, start the lawn care, start the pool care, start the car detailing. So we got people in different industries taking the same concepts and just, you know, applying it to what they already want to do.
Hey, that's dope. That's really dope. I like that y'all came up with a model that's really
a franchise.
Yeah, it's a franchise model, but for, like y'all said, service-based businesses. That's dope. If y'all got one, y'all don't want to do all the work, y'all definitely check that out.
We get a lot of people that just ask questions about that too. Like, I have a cleaning business or I have this business. Will it apply? It's like, if it's a local business, it can apply. In a local business, anything that's done physical, manual labor locally. So,
thanks. Okay, so now I'm wondering, y'all got the cleaning business, y'all got that rolling. When did the car rental business come into play? Because I know you said you were renting your car, but you said y'all also have a car rental business.
Yes, we were renting our car. That was the first idea around it.
So he was renting on Turo. That was for a year. So 2017 and 2018. And then the car rental business technically is with another company, with Hire Car, mm-hmm. instead of Turo. And we started that this year. We bought a new car, a used car in February or March of this year. And then we put it on this platform. And Hire Car is different because people use it mostly that are working for Uber and Lyft and just don't have a car.
Yeah.
Or they have Uber Eats or whatever. They don't own a car. So they rent a car out, essentially. And so we've had people, I mean, the car has been rented for the longest. Like now, right now, I think it's been 2 months.
The guy that has it for like 3 months.
Oh, 3 months now. Yeah.
So Brian, the infamous CPA, dope. He's frat. He dropped a course about car businesses. Mm-hmm. And I hit him up. I was like, wait, I did this. I was like, that could have been, we were paying off debt. I didn't think about it as a business then. I was like, it's making us money. Yeah. I was like, wait, we could actually turn this into a business. So we copped the course. We did a consultation with him. He was one of his first buys. And he was kind of walking us through what the course would look like. And then I was like, oh, we could do this. So we ended up buying a car. And like you said, it's been renting it out ever since.
Yeah. And you market, I mean, just like Turo, you put it at your price. Of course, the company takes a percentage and stuff, but it's still, you know, enough money for us.
Yeah.
Because we bought it. I mean, some people, you know, lease it, whatever. We just paid it all out, bought it all. So.
Because at one point we had two cars and then her car died originally.
Yeah.
So we never bought her another car. But if we did need that other car, you know, it's out in the streets right now. But if we needed it, we could always bring it back in the house. Mm-hmm.
We got the course too. We actually got a rental car on Hire Car.
Oh, nice.
Oh, dope.
There you go. Good. That's what he keeps saying. He want to get more.
Like, yeah, I want to build a fleet out. She's like, we got so much stuff going on. It's all about scale. It's all about growth. So I was like, one car is not going to make you rich, but maybe 10 cars will.
I'm telling you, man. Man, so I also like how you guys work together. And I know we done this webinar maybe like three weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was like just on the power of partnerships. And the way whenever you were speaking about your business, how, you know, you were saying we have to find our roles. Yeah. I really like how y'all are able to distinguish that and say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to help you out with my strengths. And I'm going to play to my strengths, because I know a lot of times whenever there's teams, sometimes people don't understand how to play their role, mm-hmm. or how, hey, you're really good at this. You don't need to be over here doing this. Like, sometimes they want to learn and do everything like that. So I just wanted to say, I really admire that y'all work together so well and complement each other. Y'all are able to just make everything work so easily for each other.
Y'all think it's only two of us. So
what did you say?
Y'all think being married helped that or made it hard?
I don't know if it's marriage or I don't know. Would it be the same with his boyfriend and girlfriend? I don't know. I can't tell you.
But I think I know it's a lot easier having two of us than four of you guys. So I commend you guys kind of doing that. And it becomes, like you said, the power of partnership. You know, we try to find our strengths. We try to know what our weaknesses are and don't try to overstep our boundaries.
Right. And then I think also knowing each other as well and knowing when too much is too much and like, okay, just relax. It's going to be okay. Like, I can handle this, or like, let's separate and talk about it after, because it's getting too heated for no reason. Like I said, not letting the business come into our personal life, you know, realizing that. And so I think that that's the way it's able to work for us, you know, because he, you know, he does stuff and I'm like, okay, you're in the office right here. I'm like, you're there too long. Like, me and Boo was out here in the living room. Like, it's time to come outside to watch TV.
Be with the family.
Or something like that. He's like, all right, you're right. You know, so I think things like that and communicating and stuff like that.
And I think that partnerships is just a cheat code to like starting businesses. I think, mm-hmm. when you have people that you could bounce ideas off of, you know, right. We got people that's like, oh, it's me and my spouse or me and my boy or me and my friend. It's like, you know, I'm scared to start the business. Like, that's the best thing to do, because you guys have.
But listen, ideas. If you don't trust them, don't do it. if you know from the beginning that,
yes.
you know, your personalities may not get along, yes. or you guys always see things differently, then I wouldn't go into a business with somebody like that. Like, you still be my friend. But we don't need to go into business.
I got friends like I would definitely start businesses with. I got friends that I probably wouldn't start businesses
with. Right, and that's fine.
But having that partnership, bouncing ideas off, or bouncing challenges. Hey, I need you to do that because I can't do it. I'm sick. I'm not feeling it. I have family things.
Yeah.
So having that partnership, I feel like you guys said, it's definitely powerful.
Message. Y'all better stop listening to these people and say you can win together.
Oh, man, I hate when black folks say that shit. Oh, you know, you can't work with black folks and all that type of
stuff. Yeah, we got to get out of that mentality. We spoke about this last time, man. I think, but the good thing about it is that we are starting to do it more often. And like you guys, it's for you guys doing this now. I'm sure there's people in the background that do things that's not on the camera right now, but you guys are showing us that it's possible because you're doing it. That's the biggest thing. You guys are doing it. Right. So you guys are showing us that it's possible. And I'm sure you guys fight in his arguments, but at the end of the day, it's still thriving and the end result is still happening.
And that's what we say. The biggest thing when we tell people when they're like, well, I don't want to pay my debt like this, or should I do exactly like you guys? We're like, you don't have to do it like us. We're just kind of letting you know that it's possible, that you can do it. There's tools out there. We can help you. We can assist you in any way. But as long as you get it done or you're working towards something, then it's fine. It doesn't need to look like exactly what we do it.
Yeah.
So. I do have a question. So y'all, you guys were featured on Good Morning America. How did that come about?
What's the name of the
Black Enterprise?
Yeah, so we were on Black Enterprise.
Shout out to our publicist, which we do have one now.
Yeah.
Hey, Valerie.
Yes, and she, that article, I don't remember when that article posted. I don't think it posted this year. I'm not sure. But when we asked him,
Hey, everyone, it's Justin Biggs here from the Biggs vs. Biggs podcast. If you're a fan of sports podcasts, then be sure to check out and subscribe to Biggs vs. Biggs, a show that covers upcoming fights, fight reviews, and interviews with some of boxing's brightest stars. And it's brought to you exclusively by Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
I don't know. But anyway, we asked him, America, how did they find us? He said, through that article. That's how they found us. I mean, I was like, okay. But at that time we had on Instagram, we had like about 2,000 or 3,000 followers. So we're like, okay, like you know how they say, you know, your name is in places that you've never been or you know, that you're not hearing about. So we're like, fine. So they called us and like came the next day to tape everything.
And that was interesting because our cousin, who's now our publicist, she does this full time, but she was like, you guys need to start telling your story more. Right. We started our Instagram page, the Heartrimony, just to like tell our story, but it was kind of like, hey, whatever. Mm-hmm. She's like, tell your story more. I'm going to throw it. And she started throwing it out to people like, hey, it's a black couple who's paid off debt or paying off debt. And Black Enterprise is like, hey, we want you guys in it. And then Good Morning America called us. We was like, huh, what?
Yeah, we got an email. And I'm like, how did they find us? She said she was the intern worker. We're like, oh, okay, like, I don't whatever. Know. We called her up and she was like, yeah, we can get somebody out tomorrow. I was like, we live in Dallas. She's like, yeah, we have people all over. I'm like, okay.
That whole thing happened when they had Bad Boys 3 had dropped. So Will Smith was and Martin was on the show.
That's the thing with live TV. They said that
we were going to be live. Yeah.
They said it was going to air that day. They was like, but we're not sure because if something happens, we'll
bump it. Was posting it. We was hyped. And we was like, oh, let's do it. They came and recorded us and filmed us.
And then they bumped it that day it was supposed to happen. And then I think a week or 2 weeks later, it aired. Yeah. So. As long as it aired, it was fine. So it was fun. It was fun for us.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's really, really dope. Hey,
I love it.
Hey, ask your cousin if she needs some more clients, too.
Well, she started. It goes to the power of partnership. We are her first paying client because
we forced it. We're like,
you got to start your business. Like, we're doing this for free. We love it. You're getting people in Vogue and Essence. But he's like, yo, start a business. This is now a business. She was worried that she wasn't going to be able to get people where they wanted to be. Yeah, like,
because she's really in her, she's really into fashion, really. Yeah. And so for us, we were like her first people like pitching outside of that. And so she was like, I'm not sure, blah, blah, blah. And so now.
She was like, listen, you start your business, we're going to be your first paying customers. And she started a business. She came back. It's like, hey, thank you guys. You know, we're going to be your first paying customers. Let's do it. So now she has a few customers that are actually like paying her. Like it's a business. Mm-hmm. Power and partnership. Trusting each other, man.
And as group economics.
Yeah, like,
exactly.
Important, like, y'all believed in her. And now, for that, like, she's starting to thrive and flourish. So, like you said, that group economics is beautiful.
Bro. Like, you use it. I like that example of group economics because a lot of people, we always shy away from doing it with people we know. Like, we don't want to involve people we know personally. But that's the best way to get it started, like we was talking about earlier. Just, like, investing in the people around you and making them see their own value.
Right. Right.
That's major. One of my bros, he does poetry. And I'm like, I randomly thought about him one day and I called him. I was like, yo, bro, do you sell your poetry? He's like, nah, I never thought about it. I was like, all right, cool. Here's what you do. I told him how to make an ebook. I told him I'd get it online. He posted it and he got like 100 sales like his first day. And he like, yo, bro, I appreciate it. I don't know what made me think about him, but it was like, yo, we got to start believing in each other, man. And start monetizing our gifts, which is amazing.
Hey, I love it. I love it too, man.
So, y'all, we're going to pivot to the last segment of the show. We want to ask y'all, what's something that y'all seen on y'all timeline, on y'all social media that y'all want to talk about? We some gentlemen on the BWR, so we're going to ask the missus to go first.
I'll drink
my water.
I'm trying to think. Who? Oh, God. Let me see.
You didn't put on.
A lot happening.
I'm sorry.
Your timeline is different from my timeline. Which
I'm thinking about Mulatto right now.
You want to talk about Mulatto? You talk about her.
I'm going to talk about with them, but I used to watch her on the show on Lifetime when she was on Jermaine Dupri, and to see her from back from there to now.
Yeah, she grew up like fast. Like I didn't realize that.
Very fast.
Like that went from like I remember seeing that show. Like she like a little 14-year-old girl. Now like she's a grown woman.
Yeah, exactly.
That happens
too fast. Mulatto's a big Mulatto.
I was scrolling on her timeline. I went all the way back, and I'm like,
this can't be the same girl. I'm like,
mind you, I just saw Mulatto for the first time yesterday, which I realized was the same Mulatto, which is the same Mulatto from the rap game that I was watching.
But let me see. I'm thinking about Danielle. I don't know if you guys know Danielle. She sells her courses.
Danielle Leslie.
She sells courses at a high premium. And so she was on our timeline and she, like her first course started out like 2000 and now she's selling courses for like 10,000.
Yeah.
And she's selling.
Yeah.
So I think about every time she hits my timeline, I'm like, girl. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking about right now.
Danielle Leslie. She's dope. We bought her first course for 1997, and it was a course to teach you how to monetize your gifts. And mind you, we bought
make a course online, really.
So we bought this course. We didn't do anything with it.
But we got halfway through.
We did the course.
We didn't finish.
But we didn't execute it. So a year later from that course, we've made $30,000, $40,000 online monetizing our gifts.
Right.
And that kind of shows you that.
Because we didn't do it exactly the way that she did. So at one point, we're like, damn, was it a waste? And we're like, no, because we didn't take that course. We wouldn't even have thought outside of that. So that's another thing. Just, you know, yeah, it wasn't exactly how she said, but she still like paved the way in a way for us. So
yeah,
that's what I'm thinking about. But what do you have on the timeline?
I just randomly came across this page on Twitter and it was like, I saw somebody, they were rebutting somebody else's comment. It was like, the sky is blue. And it was like, no, it's not. It's red right now. It was like, okay. I don't know how I came across that. So I clicked the page. And this page only RTs hate. Like, they're going to go on your page, and they're going to rebuttal anything you say. So I'm like, Blackwell Renaissance is the best podcast. No, it's not. Iron Man's the best superhero. No, he's not. I'm like, so you
maybe waste... just trolling.
I'm like, you wasting valuable time of your day just to troll other people, man. And that was it. That upset me this morning. But I blocked it.
And that shit pisses me off. I'm like, oh, you really took the time out to type this bullshit to me?
It is ridiculous, man. I'm like, we
you
got
know
so
that's
much.
How it is. People are negative. I mean, people are just negative. For me, I'm just like, whatever. And he'd be like, look at this person. I'm like, I'm not looking at them.
We was on Angela Simmons. Angela Simmons, she does this fitness class. We was on it, like IGTV. Oh, yeah. It was
the
live.
Beginning of quarantine.
It was live. Yeah, so. There's people in there, like, they're in her fitness class watching her workout, talking shade, throwing shit out.
They're like, oh, I thought you could work out. Why is the baby crying in the back? Like, all of these negative comments you're alive. I'm like, are you working out? Are you
like so, trolls, men, they're everywhere. Protect your energy, protect your space. That was a good one right there.
For real, though. Like, protect don't let them energy, people on the internet upset you.
Yeah.
Right.
I know you guys get it all the time, man.
I promise you. People be thinking, like, we get into all that shit. Bro, we have removed ourselves from that. Exactly. We start seeing some troll. Look, I look at 2-3 words. It look like you're trolling. I'm not even paying you no
don't even pay attention to it.
Right.
Yeah. Facts. Well, we want to thank y'all so much for coming on the podcast. This has been such a dope episode. Could y'all let the people know, like, how they can follow you, how they can reach out to you if they needed to have any questions?
How they can buy the course, how they can join the group, whatever.
So you can find us on the Heartrimony on Instagram. It's the HARTRIMONY. And that's the play on our last name in matrimony. Heart is all the matrimony became Heartrimony. We do not have a website yet. Hopefully, before the year is over, it don't matter. It got started.
The last podcast we said that
don't matter. It got started.
We get closer. We get closer.
Hopefully, by the end of the year, we'll have that. But if you go onto our page, you can click our link tree, and we have all of our courses and everything in there. And we actually just hit 10,000 followers today.
Today,
so we're excited about that. That's a big milestone for us.
Like I said, our first 2 years, we started 2017. It took us 3 years to get 2,000 followers, and then. This year.
We started and stopped. We wasn't serious about it. And then, like, the middle of last year, we started taking it seriously. And then the beginning of this year, we're like, all right, let's really see how we can, you know, monetize and really expand on Instagram since we're on there. We have the content. So that's what we did. And so here we are. Thank
appreciate you guys sharing our story and allowing us on your platform and your podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, it's no.
Thank y'all, man. Yeah. Y'all a beautiful, shining example of what we need to see, bro. So
Thank y'all. Thank y'all for what y'all doing.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, before we close out the podcast, we're going to get into a few house cleaning notes. We just want to say thank you to all of our listeners who come in and week out, staying with us, sharing it, telling your friends, your family, helping us grow. We really, really appreciate it. We want to say thank you for purchasing our book. If you've purchased it, if you haven't purchased it, go get it. Manage Your Money Like the 1%.
It's in the show notes.
Yeah, look, I'm going to get a copy of
No, man, look.
I got it right here. There you go.
Things on us. Y'all know how we be in the BWR. But also, y'all, like Jalen was saying, thank y'all so much for tuning in, week out. Make sure y'all continue to like, rate, share, subscribe. It helps us grow. We're growing our YouTube channel, so y'all make sure y'all check out the podcast on the YouTube. We dropping episodes and mini clips every week. And y'all just be on the lookout for what we got coming out. Well, on that note, y'all, this is Black Wealth Renaissance signing out. Peace.
I got money on my mind, I'm just trying to get some dough. I ain't picking up my lot unless it's money on the phone. Gotta get it on the daily, all I want is dubs, you know what I'm on. I've been chasing after paper, all I know is run money marathon.
With every monthly bill, like rent and car payments, you know exactly what you're getting when you pay for it. But health insurance plans feel like the total opposite. They're confusing and expensive. Then when you actually have to use your benefits, there are deductibles, claims, processes, and other red tape to deal with. But CrowdHealth puts you back in control of your healthcare. CrowdHealth is simple, transparent, and affordable. As a member, you'll get a personal care advocate who is with you every step of the way to help navigate the complexities of health events. They'll even negotiate bills on your behalf and could save you thousands of dollars in the process. Plus, you'll get access to thousands of other members who are ready to help pay for large health expenses. Experience healthcare freedom with CrowdHealth. Visit joincrowdhealth.com and use code HEALTH to get your first 3 months for just $99 per month. That's joincrowdhealth.com, code HEALTH. CrowdHealth is not health insurance. It's a totally different way of paying for healthcare. Terms and conditions may apply.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.